thanks for coming tonight. We appreciate you being in our audience, and I'm glad to be with you. I want to talk to us for just a few minutes tonight about the topic on the board, the biggest little Bible word. What do you think it is? I mentioned earlier, and people had all kinds of ideas about that biggest little word. Well, there are a lot of them that you could talk about. But I want to talk about the word in, I-N. I think it's a big little word. Carries so much weight on the pages of inspiration. As you read through this sacred book, you need to learn that God has always put His blessings in something. Don't forget that point. Always put His blessings in something. I want to catalog for you some places where God has put His blessings in. I take you back, first of all, to the book of Genesis, chapter 6 and 7. If you remember Genesis 6 and 7, it's a story of the construction of the ark. God's going to send a flood to destroy men from the face of the earth because of the violence and the problems that were going on among the people. In the process, Noah is called upon to build an ark to sail on waters that never fall. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:7 that by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. In 1 Peter 3:20, how that 8 souls were saved by water. Come with me now to the book of Genesis in chapter 7. In chapter 7, God commanded Noah and his family. The Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. And so that's that word in. The first place that God put His blessings was in the ark. And as you read through chapter 7, a number of times He talks about into. And the last verse He talks about in verse 23, and every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things and the fowl of the heavens. They were destroyed from the earth. Now watch this one. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. Had you been living in that day, would you have gotten into that ark? Would you? Only those who were in were saved from the drowning waters. The second thing I want to mention to you comes from the book of Exodus in chapter 12. Pharaoh finally let God's people go after the 10th plague. And remember, after they had gotten out, just before that, God's going to pass through and save the firstborn of the Lord's people. But He said, put blood on the doorpost and the lintel. When I say the blood, I'll pass over you. When people read this story, they think they read about a death angel. I don't read about one. God said, when I pass over. Remember that phrase? Now, God told them to do some things. Put blood on the post, door lintel, and so on. And then He made this reservation. None of you in chapter 12 and verse 22, none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. Stay in the house. That's where the blessings were. Had they not listened to that, they would not have received the blessings of God Almighty. Remember, God always puts His blessings in, that's a little word, something. Come with me now to the book of Numbers in chapter 35. In Numbers chapter 35, there's a story of the cities of refuge. And these cities were set apart that if some individual killed somebody accidentally, remember that? They could flee into one of these cities that had been appointed for refuge. Numbers 35 and verse 11. Verse 13. And of these cities which ye shall give, 6 cities shall be for your refuge. Now, where did God put His blessings? He put His blessings in the city of refuge. Come with me now to the book of Numbers 35 and verse 25. And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood. And the congregation shall restore him to the city of his refuge where he was fled. And he shall abide, you know what the next word is? He got it, haven't he? In it until the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil. Numbers 35 and verse 25. Now let's look at Numbers 35 and verse 28. Because he should have remained in, there's that little word, the city of refuge until the death of the high priest. But after death of the high priest, the slayer shall return into the land of his possession. I call that to your attention to appreciate the fact that God's blessings is in something, in the cities of refuge. But there's another one I want to call to your attention. You remember Rahab the harlot who hid the spies, put the scarlet thread in the window, and her house had stood on the town wall, and the Lord gave some instructions for this lady in regards to her safety. You know what the safety was? In the book of Joshua, chapter 6, verse 17. And the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein to the Lord. Now watch this little statement. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her, guess where? In the house, because she hid the messengers that were sent. On this occasion, God put his blessings in the house. That's pretty easy to get a hold of, isn't it? Somebody said that's Old Testament stuff. Well, it is. You want some New Testament stuff? In the book of Acts in chapter 27, you remember the story that Paul and his company were at sea. The ship wrecked. And the Lord gave them some instructions in regards to this particular place, Acts chapter 27. They thought everybody's going to be thrown overboard. You remember that little story? And the Lord said, not a hair of your head is going to be damaged. And so, but in Acts chapter 27 and verse 31, look what he said do. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, watch it, except these abide where? In the ship, he could not be saved. And so on this occasion, God put his blessings in a ship. You see, God can put his blessings in anything he wants to. You agree? Now, it would do you no good to get in an ark, stay in the house, go into a city like that, or stay in a ship. But there's applications about that we need to know about. Places that we need to be today in order to receive the blessings of God Almighty. Now, where are God's blessings for us today? The Bible teaches without a doubt that all of God's blessings are in Christ and in the church of Christ. I want to prove that to you. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Watch it now. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Where, Lord? In Christ. There's not a single spiritual blessing outside of Christ. You can name all the spiritual blessings you like. I'll name some of them for you. In Ephesians 1:7, he said we have redemption in Christ. The word redemption means somebody paid the price. Maybe there's a coupon in the paper or a magazine. And it says, take this coupon down to the local store and redeem it. Maybe for a bar of soap. You thought that was free, didn't you? Ain't no free lunch, remember? There's nothing free, really. Now, that means somebody pays the price. That's what the word redemption means, isn't it? Jesus paid the price when he shed his blood on the cross. And so that's one of the blessings in Christ, redemption. The second one in Ephesians 1:7 is the forgiveness of sins. If you ever have your sins forgiven, when you obey the gospel of Christ, you're baptized into Christ, Galatians 6:27, and you have the forgiveness of sins, past sins. Like in Acts 2:38. When on Pentecost they were told to repent and to be baptized, what for? The remission of sins. When you do that, you have the remission of past sins. Romans 3:25. But also, when you think about those blessings that are in Christ, the Bible says that peace is in Christ. In John 16:33, Jesus is in the world, you're going to have trouble, tribulation, but in me, you can have peace. What kind of peace? The peace that Paul described in the book of Philippians 4:6, when he talked about the peace of God that does what? Passes all understanding. It surpasses all that you might understand about it. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. Where else are God's blessings? They're in the church. Now, Christ and the church are inseparable. They go hand in hand. And that's true because the Bible teaches that the church is the body of Christ. Colossians 1:18. You can't separate them. In Ephesians 5:32, he said Christ and the church. You can't separate them. Although there are people today who say, just give me Christ and forget about the church. That won't work. They go together like a hand in glove. And so God has joined together those things, and so the blessings of God today are in the church. If you ever expect to be saved from your sins and have the hope of eternity, you must be in the Lord's church. The church is the saved. Acts 2:47. That's where all the blessings are today. In the book of Ephesians 2:16, he said that he might reconcile. The word reconcile means to bring two parties that are apart together again. Where does that reconciliation take place? Look at it. In. There's that little word again. In. In what? One body. What's the body? In Colossians 1:24. Paul said, for his body's sake, which is what, Paul? The church. Not a church. The Bible never talks about a church, does it? It's always the church. Like Paul said in Romans 16:16, the churches of Christ salute you. Sometimes it's just called the church. Church of the firstborn one. The church of God. And the list goes on and on and on. Reconciliation is in the church. By the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. It takes Christ and the church to get the job done. That means that he died on the cross, shed his blood. He purchased the church with his own blood. Acts 20:28. It's really important that you understand where these blessings are today. In Christ and his church. Next question. How do you get into Christ? Where these blessings are? That a good question? It is, isn't it? In Galatians 3:27. Paul, writing to the Galatians, says that we're baptized. Baptized where, Paul? Into the church. Right? Baptized into Christ. That's how you get into Christ. Being baptized. What about being baptized in the church? Does the Bible ever say that? It does, doesn't it? In 1 Corinthians 12:13, he said, by one Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, were you baptized into what? That's that word again, into. Into what? One body. That's how you get into church. Being baptized into one body. No way around that. If you ever expect to be saved from your sins, you've got to be in the Lord's church. And it's identified, again I mentioned, Romans 16:16. The churches of Christ salute you. You need to be in that church in order to be saved. How do you know that? In Acts 2:47, on the day of Pentecost, when those believing Jews asked what to do, they were told to repent. Remember that? Be baptized. What for? The remission of sins. What did the Lord do with those people? In Acts 2:47, it says the Lord added to the church daily. Who'd he add? You know, don't you? Such as were being saved. Somebody says, does the church save? That passage doesn't say that. The church is the saved. Right? That's where all God's blessings are tonight. In Christ and in the Lord's church. You'll not find them anywhere else. If you ever expect to have God's blessings, you got to be in, not out of, Christ and His church. Now, one other thing, and the lesson is yours. After you get into Christ, you must do some things, right? First of all, you must walk in Him. Colossians 2:6 talks about walking in Christ. The word walk carries the idea of the kind of life you live. The book of Ephesians often talks about the walk of God's people. Got to walk in Christ. But also, we need to abide in Him. Remember John 15, 1-6? When He talked about the vine and the branches. How that branch must abide in the vine. If it's cut off, it's gone. It's dead. It won't produce anything. And on that goes. In Philippians 3 and verse 18, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians. He had this to say. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. So in Christ and the church, what do? Walk by the rule. Let us mind the same thing. Rules. There are folks who think there are no rules today. I recall a few years ago, we had a lady where I preached, and she'd come by me, she said, Johnny, I'm tired of rules. Okay. You want to know what happened to her? I was holding a meeting someplace down in Alabama, and she had moved to that area and came to the meeting one night. And I talked to her about her stay and her what she was doing, and she said, you know, I'm not in the Church of Christ anymore. I belong to a little group that we meet together and sit around and turn the lights down and somebody streams on the guitar a little bit, and we wait for the Holy Spirit to move us to do something. That's what leads to when you get to thinking, there are no rules. They're out the window. The Bible is the rule book. And it must be respected, believed, and observed. Things like that will happen to you. Hope you appreciate the fact that we need to abide in the doctrine of Christ. In 2 John 9, John says, whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in what? The teachings of Christ. That's what the word doctrine means, isn't it? You got to abide in there. If I were to draw a circle on the board and put in that circle the teachings of Christ, you dare not get out of that circle. Right? We must abide in the doctrine or the teachings of Christ. One other thing. In order to go to heaven when you die, you have to be in the right thing. In Christ and the church. Why? So you can die in, as my word again, the Lord. In Revelation 13, he talks about, blessed are the dead which die. Die where, John? Just die anywhere? Does it make any difference where you die? What do you think about that? That's the book of Revelation, chapter 14, verse 13. Let me read it to you. I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write. John, what did you write? Blessed are the dead. Is that what he said? No, he didn't say that. There's nothing blessed about just dying. Blessed are the dead which die. Is that what he said? That's not what he said. There's nothing blessed about just dying. But here's where the blessing is. Watch it. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. I tell you what, folks. The only place that you can die and go to heaven afterwards is to be in the Lord. Nowhere else. So tonight, after listening to where all these blessings are, in Christ and in the church, I ask you, are you in Christ? Are you in His church? Well, somebody said, I'd like to do that. But how in the world do you get into Christ where all these blessings are? Well, you have to hear about it, first of all, right?
faith comes. Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing. You know the rest of that? And hearing by the word of God. You've done that tonight. You must believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, or die in your sins. John 8:24. You must be willing to turn from your sins and repentance. Repent and perish. Luke 13:3-5. God commands all men everywhere to repent. Acts 17:3. Then you need to make that public confession, like the eunuch did in Acts 8:37, when he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I call your attention. He did not confess his sins. Rather, he confessed his faith that I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You have to make that confession, a public confession before men, Matthew 10:32, in order to please God. Is that all? Not quite. Remember what that Galatians 3:27? When he said we're baptized into Christ. And 1 Corinthians 12:13, baptized into the church, the one body. That's how you get in. And when you do that, the Lord pardons your past sins, adds you automatically to his church, and then if you're faithful and steadfast and unmovable, 1 Corinthians 15:58 and Revelation 2:10, someday heaven can be your home as you die a blessed day in the Lord. Maybe you've gotten into Christ, but you got out of it by being unfaithful. You're not steadfast. You committed sin and won't straighten it up. You can do that. By repenting of the things for which you're guilty, confess them in prayer unto God, like Simon was told in Acts 8:13-22. Or what John said in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's just to forgive. If you're dishonest tonight, and you need to make your life right with God, we sing the song and invite you to come right now.
King of my life.